This is Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast with me, Sarah Maloof. Join me as I chat with fitness gurus, business owners, wellness experts, and other inspiring individuals as together we dive into what it means to live well. I cannot believe it. Last podcast episode, at least for now. I just don't want to put such a final ending on it in case I come back to this one day, because it really has been such a joy. I can't believe I've been podcasting for 2 years, almost to the day, and 100 episodes, actually a little bit more, because I think there was a bonus episode or two, but we'll call it 100 episodes. And to honor the occasion, I have my first guest back with me, who's also now going to be my last, again, for now, guest, Meredith Leslie. Meredith, thank you so much for being here. It means a lot to me.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I said this the first time I was with you, but I am honored. And I can't help but to think about the Justin Bieber song, Never Say Never. You never know if you're bringing this back, you know?
Totally.
You never know.
Totally. So true. Nothing's final. I mean, life, as we've learned, I was about to say what we've learned over the last 2 years. I think we can both say that one thing we've definitely learned over the last 2 to 3 years is that anything is subject to change. You never know what tomorrow will hold. And girl, a lot has changed in both our lives, I'm sure, over the last 2 years. But before we really get into that, I want to say a quick thank you. If you're listening to this episode, then you've at least listened to one of my episodes before. And to anyone who's been with me since the beginning or ever pressed play or shared on your story or with a friend an episode, thank you, thank you, thank you. I started this podcast in 2020 for a few reasons, and those reasons held up over the last 2 years. First of all, I love podcasts. It's just been a great source of knowledge for me. I hope that this podcast has been a source of knowledge for some of you. I hope that you've maybe learned something you didn't learn or you didn't know already. Maybe you've been introduced to someone that you didn't know of before through the different guests I've had on the show. If you've been a guest on the show, thank you again. Secondly, I really wanted to just have conversation, because conversation is a lost art these days. There's a difference in just talking versus conversation. And I think over the last few years, as a society as a whole, we've really lost touch with how to communicate openly and not always having to be right, not always having to have everyone agree with you. I haven't agreed with every single point of view that every single guest has ever made on the show. The whole point was to have open conversation, honest conversation, and then to challenge your thinking. And that brings me to my last, I think, most important why behind everything. I hope that if I've challenged anyone's thinking, I know I've challenged my own thinking, specifically with the question of what does it mean to live well? And that meaning changes for me daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And I just hope it, again, has people thinking. Like, we evolve, and I want people to be open to change their mind and to grow and expand upon what makes them, but also what makes other people unique. And again, have the conversation and try to live a healthy, full, well-lived life. So I'll turn it back to you. With that being said, I know you answered this question for me 2 years ago, but like, let's just get into it. What's changed? What's evolved? How does living well look different for you today, Meredith, than it did 2 years ago?
Oh my goodness. That is such a great question, because I listened to our first, podcast right before this. And I just have to say, your voice, you're so much more in your voice. Like, you feel experienced now. Like, I love what you're giving me right now, just in terms of like energy, like truly, because it's funny hearing your voice when you opened the first one. You got to go back and listen, because okay, you're going to hear it in your own voice. You will. Oh gosh, you will. No, no, it's nothing. No, not at all. You just are very, you are so confident right now. And not that you weren't confident when you started. I mean, you decided and made the leap to do the thing in the first place. So you are confident to begin with, but the amount of confidence you have grown just literally in your voice, honey.
Thank you.
So good. Thank you. Also, feel free to cut that, but I had to tell you that, because I was like, wow, listening to you speak is really amazing. So what it means to me now, girl, the growth in the past 2 years. What it means to me now, honestly, like you really said it when you said it's changing every day, every week, every month. Like, sure, we have this vision of what we think that means. And then every day brings something new. You know what I mean? Every hour. And so it really is, honestly, about really honoring myself, I think, a lot of the times, because that sounds so general, but I said this last time, but having the consistency, no matter how I feel, really, I said it 100 episodes ago, and I'm saying it now, that is still truly what it means for me. The trust that you build in yourself through that consistency is really priceless. You can't put a price on that. And that is what has like kept me going and kept me consistent. Not to use that word again, but to use that word again, it's true. Like, even it's funny because I used the example 100 episodes ago of even through breakups, even through a death. And I said, God forbid. And it's funny because I lost my grandmother a month ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, before that, it would have taken me a week, weeks, a month to get out of bed and recover and feel, you know, the strength to even get out of bed and get to the gym. And like, I was eager. I landed back in New York and I was eager to get back to the gym like immediately and get back into my routine, because that's part of what makes me feel best mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that I said that 2 years ago, because, you know, who knows where we'll be in the next few years, but that's what I'm most proud of. That's really what it means to live well for me, is to keeping promises that you've made to yourself every day, no matter what that is, and whatever capacity that looks like for you. That's really what it means. Because when you establish that trust in yourself, that really bleeds into every aspect of your life and really, you know, builds that foundation that you need to live a healthy, well life.
Yes. And you said something a couple of times that I really would like for you to expand upon: the trust in yourself. Mm-hmm. I would love to know what that means to you more specifically, because I do think that a lot of people maybe are still waiting for someone else to come save them, in a sense. And I don't even just mean in the physical sense of getting to the gym, but in general, we live in a victim mentality mindset. A lot of us do, more often than we'd like to admit, probably. And I want you to expand upon building trust in yourself and what trusting yourself, what that looks like in your day to day, how you show up as a trustworthy human in your own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that you talked about the victim mentality, because yes, we can talk about that all day. But with that being said, it is important to know that trusting yourself is commitment when you don't feel like it. And that is no matter how you're feeling. If you're feeling like the victim, fine. You're going to get up and you know, the commitment that you made to yourself at the beginning of the week to go for a 20-minute walk every day, you can be a victim for that whole 20-minute walk, but you kept that commitment to yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I only use that as, that's a very poor example. And I don't encourage that type of mentality, but I'm just saying, like, you can work towards something every day. You really can. And that's what you have to know. And slowly your mindset begins to shift and you shift out of that victim mentality. And, you know, we could talk about that all day, but with that being said, it really is about honoring that commitment to yourself. And when I say that, more specifically, what I do, the actionable steps that I do every week, is I have a workout schedule for myself, and it is put in my planner, like a true dentist appointment or doctor's appointment that you have to show up for as you do, you know, it's that type of commitment. Like it is something I will be showing up for. Even my Soul Cycle classes, I talked about that 2 years ago. I'm still here doing them all the time. I still have to put them in my calendar. You know what I mean? It is that kind of, it's that kind of commitment to yourself. Even, you know, yesterday it was truly the last thing I felt like doing. And I was like, it's Tuesday. And I told myself I would go to the 12:30. I'm just going to go. Like it didn't have to be perfect, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, so it's about once you put that on your calendar and then you show up and then you show up again, and then you show up again. It's every single day that trust grows a little bit more. The trust doesn't just happen one day. Like you have to work for it and don't look too far in the future. The tips I can offer now is just think about today. Think about what you can do today to make your, to keep whatever commitment you have to yourself. One small thing. It doesn't have to be anything big. It doesn't have to be anything huge. And that's where we get caught up in making like, you know, the big commitments to ourselves that then all of a sudden feel overwhelming and you're setting yourself up for failure.
Absolutely. And to echo that, I think it was Ed Milet I've heard say this, and it really coincides with what you're saying right now. Trust, you're speaking, of course, more specifically to the habitual act of like physical exercise.
Moving, yes. I'm sorry. I keep going back to that, but
no.
Yes.
No, but it all, this is all going to tie together perfectly. And Meredith is a personal trainer. If you don't know that, that means you haven't listened to episode one. So maybe go back and listen to that first and then pick up with this one.
But there is an update there as well. So keep going. But
okay, perfect.
Yes. Who isn't a personal trainer now?
Okay. Yes. We'll have to talk about that too, for we sure. Were. So I think it was Ed Milet. And again, excuse me if this is not the right person who originally said this, but that trust in yourself that you build or do not build, it's going, if it's not trust, it's distrust. You're really never neutral. And you're always doing things, little habits that you might not even realize that are either building your trust in yourself or decreasing that trust. I remember he gave this example. If you are someone who tells yourself, makes a commitment mentally that you're going to wake up at 7 a.m. and then you sleep till 7:30, you've started your day by breaking a promise to yourself. And that's already setting the tone for your day. Then, so that someone might be listening. And again, this is a trivial example, but I'm just saying this as an example. So let's say you start the day like that. Well, then after that, maybe it was to your example, you said you were going to go on a 20-minute walk and you convince yourself that that's not going to happen. Okay. Another thing that you lied to yourself about. Those can snowball. Those might be little habits in and of themselves, but if you are not a consistent person with who you are or who you want to be and what you say you're going to do, if that is not consistent, that could continue to seep into really, really intense areas of your life where it really does matter. Like if you're just telling yourself little white lies, are you going to tell your spouse little white lies? Are you going to tell your boss? Are you going to tell your friends? And all of a sudden you've created this life that you don't even trust yourself. So how's anyone else going to trust you? Because you don't have proof in the pudding, if that makes sense.
Okay. Sarah is serving, dishing out the truth today on a Wednesday afternoon.
It really stuck with me.
You're exactly right.
I was like, how many times have I written off little things, little promises I've broken to myself because I convinced myself they don't matter because no one's affected directly except me. Mm-hmm. But that seeps into so many areas of my life. I'm not going to show up as the best version of myself in my marriage or in my friendships or anything if I don't even trust myself. How can anyone else trust me? Right. So It really goes along with what you're saying. And I completely agree with your point.
Agreed. And you know what? Another thing that I would like to add to this is not setting up yourself for failure. Mm-hmm. So say you have, I'm going to take your alarm clock example, like for 7 a.m. Well, say that there is a circumstance in which you were up until, I don't know, 2 a.m. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Knowing well that you haven't gotten adequate rest. And so you set the alarm for 7 a.m. and you didn't get up and all of that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it is important to start with the step before the action. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So in order to wake up at 7 a.m., you need to get 8 hours of rest, 7 minimal to 8 hours of rest. So you need to be going to bed at a decent time, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of factors that need to happen. So I just bring that up because it's not only the action, but it's setting yourself up for success as well. I.e. also, like, if I'm going to take a 7 a.m. class, which I try, I set my alarm for Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 a.m. A 7 a.m. class, I have to walk. It takes me like 45 minutes to get there door to door. So it is a commitment if I'm going to go, mm-hmm. right? So I set my alarm. I'm just giving an example personally. I set my alarm and I have set up my clothes the night before. I have my bag packed. I have already walked my dog late at night before I went to the bed. So, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to walk him before I leave. He can wait until, does that make sense? There are so many things that you have to think through to make one thing happen. And that's what can be overwhelming about it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, that's really where it can get frustrating, which is why I say start with small, it does. The smallest change will affect your whole life. Like, and being consistent about a small change will affect your whole life, whether it be job related, whether it be relationship related, whether it be your relationship with food, your relationship with exercise. Like, this can affect so many things. And what I have found personally is when I applied this to exercise and when I applied this to what I was putting in my body, it then started changing a lot of other aspects of my life in mm-hmm. the best way, you know,
because energetically you had a shift. I really think that's so true. I mean, yeah, it's no secret. I completely believe in God, but I also believe in free will. And I think that God ultimately controls what's going to happen to us. I don't think we need to get like psychotic about, I'm so easy to do this. Like, I mean, psychotic about my schedule, about making things happen, whatever, when I need to just do what I can do, control what uh-huh. I can control. And if I do that, my energy will shift in a positive way that then will cause the changes that need to happen in my life that God ordained. That's right. What I believe.
Yes.
And I think, like you said, it could be very daunting to look ahead and be like, oh, what will I be like? And even like, you don't have to go out years. What's next week going to hold for me?
Next week is, oh my girl.
But like you said, controlling what you can control uh-huh. by approaching what you need to approach that day or night or that morning to get you from point A to point B, and being in the right energy to be able to reciprocate what needs to happen from there. Like once you get to that workout class, you know, you'll have the energy to do what you need to do there and so on and so forth. And we're talking about a lot about exercise and mindset and things that I know you deal with in your work every day. Catch mm-hmm. us up. What's going on in the life of Meredith Leslie? You said you're not just personal training anymore. Tell us about all that.
So I'm not just personal training anymore, which I wasn't. Yeah. Okay. Let me not ramble. I am not just personal training anymore. I am also a certified nutritionist and I am a certified weight loss specialist as well. Honestly, all of that is just, I've just taken courses to educate myself on nutrition and honestly, the weight loss specialist course was very interesting because I learned a lot of things that I wish I could have read at the beginning of my own personal weight loss journey. Because honestly, the course is a lot about mindset, which makes sense for anything longevity, but it really is like they start out the book with talking about how get people out of the black and white thinking, like get people out of that frame of mind. Just generally in life, life is not black and white. Food is not black and white. It's not healthy and not healthy. Same goes for exercise. Like, we are so stuck in this black and white thinking. And, you know, anyway, I just wish I had read that at the beginning of my journey because that was so helpful and so valuable. And it's helping people understand that there is a gray area. And that is where the mindset shift happens, is really coming around to the fact that there, this is a gray area. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not, it is not linear. Like this is something where you can also have, you know, a hamburger and vegetables and all the things all at the same time. Like those things can coexist. And so often we are led to believe that they can't. Mm-hmm. And so that's really, it really is the mindset shift umbrella that I think I have moved more into over the 2 years, because that affects everything. No matter if you're working out, no matter what you're putting in your body, that where your mindset is at is key. You know what I mean? And if you're not ready, you know, to be open to being in the gray area, it really is not, it doesn't lock in for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to kind of disassemble the thought of good eating and bad eating. We are so wired. Our brains, our society is so wired to like healthy and unhealthy that we can't possibly grasp the concept that there's a middle ground. You know what I mean? And that's the hard part. That's really what I have become like more passionate about, is helping others understand that there is a gray area when it comes to food and when it comes to what you're putting in your mouth and how you're moving your body. And it doesn't have to be perfect. And, you know, you can still eat whatever you want to and live a full and satisfied life and not feel anxious about food all the time.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask about that. Okay. So
sure.
To get to the gray area, I assume from what I've seen and what I've experienced, there's two sides to that. There's the black and the white, like you said, that people like to live in. Mm-hmm. But for this sake of this illustration, call the white the people who are just like, there's nothing that's off limits. They'll eat sugar all day. They don't exercise at all. They're drinking donuts every day. Let's call that the white area. Let's call the black area, like, very restrictive. Only eat vegetables. Only eat within a certain period of time. Do not miss a workout ever. Very rigid. Mm-hmm. Talk to both sides on where you would start if you're living in one of those colors to get to the gray.
So honestly, when you live on one of those sides, I personally come from a disordered eating background. And that is, I've never been like massively overweight, and I've not ever been massively underweight. It is, again, it is a psychological, mental, you know, thing more than anything. Mm-hmm. And that is what I think I had to recognize within myself. And so if you are someone who lives in that black or white, I'm going to say a few things. A, I would think about how your own pattern and lifestyle affects your life and your feelings, and doesn't make you feel your best. And if it doesn't, how can you change that? B, I would also say, if you're living as someone who eats sugar and like processed just junk all the time, and you never put a vegetable in your life, you just don't ever eat vegetables. Are you aware that you need to? Like, some people just honestly don't even know, like, don't know where to start, don't know what to eat. Like, you were raised a certain way, however you were eating whatever you know, wanted, or whatever was available or not available. So some people just, it's truly a lack of knowledge, which is where I feel like I sat personally. Like, I truly just didn't. Sure, I knew protein was in chicken, but I had no idea how much of anything or what. Like, I didn't have the knowledge. So I think not being knowledgeable, I think if you're really interested, kind of like reading and educating yourself about it. And yeah, those are my two main things, I would say.
No, that's so interesting. We take a lot for granted. I'm saying we, speaking really for myself, just what knowledge I have years of now really looking into this and being interested in it, reading a lot, listening to a lot of podcasts, going through IIN and having this experience that I do take a lot of that knowledge for granted. And it's a good reminder that some people genuinely just don't know certain things.
A lot of people don't know. A lot of people, especially like our older the generation older than us. Mm-hmm. And then like our grandparents' generation, forget about it. The information they were, you know, fed and not fed. Oh my goodness.
Right.
It's hard. A lot of people don't understand.
And also speaking of the generations, and something else you mentioned briefly is that there's like, I thought this was so interesting when I came out of IIN and we had these mock health intake forms that they suggested we use for bringing on new health coaching clients. And I found it so interesting and it makes total sense. I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier. One of the questions on the intake form is, okay, give us just like an average idea of kind of like how you eat in a day now, or what a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know, doesn't have to be exact, just an average idea. And then right after that, what was your average breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks? What did that look like as a child? And I thought that was so interesting because I'm like, wait, that makes perfect sense. Some people eat in a way that is reflective of what they were taught as a child, and they're needing to unlearn things. For example, if you made good grades or you got a good report or something good happened to you at school, you deserve a treat, a reward. You reward yourself with this ice cream cone or whatever, or vice versa. You were bad. You did something bad. You don't get dessert tonight. You know, when you celebrate, we eat this way. When we vacation, we eat this way, but at home we eat this way. And like, it's so subconscious. And a lot of it does make total sense. I'm not telling anyone how to parent, but it's like a lot of unlearning. Oh, it's not when I do this, then I get this. Totally. It can be whenever I want, as long as I have that control and that power in my hands. It's just so fascinating to think about the psychology behind how and why we eat.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, I am not, you know, a dietitian. I am not a doctor. I am not anything. I speak on my own personal experience and, you know, what I have learned through my certifications in the past few years, but, I know I'm just, you know, skimming the surface, but a lot of my interest comes from my own personal journey, and through my personal journey and sharing it a lot online. Like, I know so many other people feel the same, and I used to feel so alone. So it's nice knowing that, sure, I didn't ever struggle with my disordered eating, maybe in an extreme way, one way or the other, but that doesn't mean my struggle is not bad or really hard. You know what I mean? So everybody's struggle looks the same. Even that area, there's gray area, like there is, but, you know, starting even with anything that you got going on in your mind, if you can make one commitment to yourself, even if it's to drink a bottle of water one day, like literally every day for 7 days, you know what I mean? And you keep that commitment to yourself. It's like, oh, okay, that's a stupid commitment, but like, no, it's not. That's a commitment that you're keeping to yourself every single day. Like, imagine if somebody else had planned to bring you some water every single day for a week and they showed up and did that for you. You would be like, wow, that person really showed up for me every single day. They brought me a bottle of water. That was it. But they showed up every day and they brought that to me. You would think something of that. You know what I mean? You would have trust in that person. It works the exact same way. You have to build that trust in yourself. Mm-hmm. And you have to like bring that yourself, that bottle of water, you know, breaking it down to like the most simple of the simple. But that really, it really is a mindset shift. It's so hard, and it happens over time, and it's different for everybody, but small things, small actions every day, small commitments to yourself every week and following through, that is really, whether that to be find a therapist, make that appointment, have that session, those are all actionable steps to all things I need to do. That's funny that I just made brought that up, but it's true. Like, those are things on my to-do list, and I've got to fulfill my commitment to myself and do that for myself to make myself better. You know what I mean? So it's hard. Nobody said it would be easy, but start small. Start small and don't judge yourself for how small it needs to be. Start small and start tomorrow. Don't start the next day. Start today. Start tomorrow. Like, really put it on your calendar to wake up 10 minutes early and, you know, go for a walk, or cancel the dog walker and actually take your own, you know, dog on a walk, do the thing. Like, really make one small commitment to yourself and repeat that every day. And I'm not saying exercise every day. I'm saying, you know, one small commitment to yourself that's going to make yourself feel better, and that's going to establish that trust within yourself. Ooh. To really, like, be able to make a change.
Yeah. You're motivating me for sure.
Am I? Yours.
You make some amazing points. Like I said, you're challenging me in the best way. Like, it's not easy to be consistent, but at the same time, it is. We overcomplicate things in our mind when we really just need to take the next step, do the next right thing, so to say. And mm-hmm. I also would love for you to talk just briefly about how, even when you're doing the next right thing, even when you are being consistent, showing up for yourself, even when you're trying to live in that gray area we talked about, there's mm-hmm. good days and bad days. I saw that you shared on Instagram, like, hey, I still struggle with some stuff. Like, I don't want anyone to think that I've got it all figured out and every day is just, I'm living well, so mm-hmm. to say, every day. Will you touch on that? Like, what does that look like in your life, and how do you handle it when you're having an off day or moment or thought?
Yes, I have really set myself up for success in terms of going to the gym, locations, making sure I like it, making sure it's equipment, yada, yada, yada. I really have done everything I can. Well, all the, like, fun parts, excitement about it, like, goes away after going months and months and months and months and years now. You know what I mean? So I just have not felt, you know, Friday, I had one of the best lifts I have had, like, in months. And then today I was just like, today was fine, but it was just like, ugh, I just didn't feel great. And I'm sharing, like, my honest, very raw thoughts about lately, because I think it's important for people to hear that. Like, people look at my Instagram, I know people think I have it figured out. Like, yes, do I do SoulCycle a lot? Do I work out a lot? But is all of that because I genuinely enjoy it? Yes. So, or is, could somebody who doesn't really know me be like, oh, well, you know, you've got it all figured out and you enjoy it and you've got it all down pat and all of that. But yes, now I do. For so long, I didn't. Like, for so long, I was trying to figure out what I liked, what I enjoyed, what I could find exercise wise. Like, so, but I just kept trying. I kept consistently trying is what I did. And so anyway, I just want people to know, all the way around, front to back, from the start of my journey to now, it has not been easy. It's not been fun. The way we portray things online makes, you know, things seem so fun. And a lot of it is fun. Like, I do put all my fun stuff on there because I genuinely enjoy it. It's not a lie. It's not fake. But am I going to blast all my struggles out on Instagram? No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I am going to share that, like, do I struggle? Yes. And do I struggle a lot? I sure do. Do I struggle much less? Yes. Do I know the tactics and the tools now to know how to get myself right back on track and not allow my mindset to live in the victim state, in all, you know what I mean? I now work every day and staying consistent, and the trust in myself and all that plays a huge role into how I'm able to bounce back. Mm-hmm. You know, so with all of that being said, I think it's important to know that
I have a lot of things figured out, but I don't have it all figured out. I never will. And every day you're just growing, trying to be a better version of the person that you were yesterday. You know what I mean?
Amen to that. And I want to say one last final of like how it means for me to live well, what it means for me to live well, because it ties in a lot with what you're saying. I think it's different again than it would have been 2 years ago. I have really shifted. Of course, I still love cooking and healthy foods, but I also really have shifted into a lot more of an emotional, spiritual kind of mental health space. And that's just where I'm at in life. And that's what really, really matters to me. But like you said earlier, once you get all that right, once you get your mind right, your soul right, the rest is just honoring that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that living well is being in the moment, but not feeling defined by every moment, being present, taking it one day at a time, living in the moment to your best of your ability without believing that one thought, one fight, one bad day, one fill in the blank is who you are or defines you, because feelings don't define you and circumstances don't define you. But I think that I am a child of God and I have been given so many blessings and that I need to make the most of that, but it's not a bad day or a disagreement or whatever it is. It's just fleeting. Right. So really trying to look at health through this whole person lens, living well to me is so many bits and pieces of different aspects of life, because together it creates that full circle. And I say this all the time, and this part still does hold true to what I believed several years ago. It doesn't really matter if your workout regimen is perfect if you are experiencing a toxic relationship. And it doesn't really matter if you're cooking healthy every single night at home when you are struggling spiritually. And all these things, you know, those are two examples of how I think it all just really, really ties together. And my advice to anyone listening would be to start like inside out. And that sounds so cliche and silly, but examine your soul. Like, how's your soul really? Like, where do you stand with God or whatever, you know, I know what I believe, but whatever God looks like to you, some sort of spiritual practice, what does that look like? And then go to your mind. Like, what is your mental health looking like these days? Are you doing anything to better that? Do you take the walks that help? Personally, walks, yes, they're exercise, but to me, that clears my head and that's good for my mental health. Are you doing the things to get your mental health where it needs to be, and just working from the inside out? So that's just like where I stand so firm. And it really just goes along with everything you're saying with how you approach your healthy living. And I just totally align and I love it.
I appreciate that. And all of that, I love what you said, and it can feel so like woo woo. Oh, and you know, Sarah's doing this and Meredith is doing that. And it's like, well, we're doing that because it like really works. Like, you really, really, really have to look at where your mindset is, where your psychological, you know, is, where your heart is, where your soul is. Like, you really, really, really got to start looking in, because that's the only way you're going to make a long lasting, sustainable change. Everything is going to be fleeting. Everything is going to be temporary if you are not committed till the end to yourself, honestly, and keeping those commitments, because weight loss certification school tells you that 97% of people who lose weight gain it all back. 3% of people are successful. And that's for a reason. A, it's very difficult, but B, also, like, you really have to find something that is going to be longevity for you. It's not black and white. There is a gray area, and we need to move that 97 and 3% to more like 50-50, so people can understand that, you know, there is a gray area, and you don't need to sacrifice, you know, your life because you feel like you're stuck, you know? Anyway, so if you are looking to make like any sustainable, real change in your life, whether it be weight loss, whether it be, you know, weight gain, whether it be a better relationship with food, whether it be a better relationship with your parents or whoever it be, whatever it is, a better job, you really start inside out and think about small tiny steps, because we are in 2022 and it can feel so overwhelming just like to exist, that much less to get your own ball rolling. You know what I mean? So I would just encourage people to really start small, and starting small is starting small and without judgment. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm. And if you are looking to make those changes and work with someone on those changes, are you taking clients? Plug yourself.
I am, girl. I am never going to say no. I am, me and Sarah talk about this all the time, but I'm going to grow and I'm going to expand as always. People can find me on Instagram at Meredith Leslie, M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H. L-E-S-L-E-Y. And yeah, you can always DM me. I am always on there. You can also email me on my web. Everything is through my Instagram. My website is on there. So, and my email and all that good stuff. So, but if you DM me through Instagram, like a true millennial, mm-hmm. I will respond.
Yes. And you're a great Instagram follow, always serving premium content, always being honest, always inspiring me, encouraging others.
Thank you.
And you know, it's hard to find a really good inspirational fitness account these days, honestly, that's like relatable and realistic, but also again, motivating. So
girl, I really got to capitalize on the fact that you just said all that. I got to start making money off that, honey.
There you go.
So in 2 years, see y'all when, you know, yep. I'm making a lot of money off it. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, hopefully not kidding actually, but talk about growth. I would like to grow. But no, for real, I really try and be as honest as possible on there. And that's like, Instagram has been a huge source of encouragement for me as well, which sounds wild, but it's true. And you know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So mm-hmm. I really enjoy the people that, you know, I get to interact with on there. So anyway, feel free to reach out to me. If you have any questions, just like say hi, whatever.
Yes. And I'll link everything as always in the show notes. I cannot believe we're wrapping this conversation, guys. Again, thank you all from the bottom of my heart. If you've ever been anyone who, like I said, supported the show in any way, I am still also on Instagram. Find me at SarahMaloof_ website, SarahMaloof.com. I want to stay connected. And if you're a podcast listener and you're looking for other maybe like-minded podcasters or shows that I'd recommend, send me a message. I'd be happy to suggest some of my favorites. So I hope everyone continues to live well. And I want to know, if you want to message me, what it means to you. And like I said, if you're like the two of us, that's going to change every single day. So let's stay in touch and grow together. Thank you all so much. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wellbeing Well Said, the podcast. If you liked what you heard and you would like to support me, it would mean so much if you would subscribe to the show, rate and review, and spread the word. Tell your friends, tag me on Instagram, all the things. That really does help me grow and helps me create more content that I can put out for you all.